Revelation chapter 2. Hallelujah. Anybody in here ever face challenges? Any difficulties and trials in life? Huh? Well, you know, God has made a way for you to be an overcomer. That means if something isn't your way, there's a way to overcome that, to prevail, to gain the victory. And we began a series last week called The Overcoming Church. Say, that's me. Say, I'm an overcomer. Amen. God has designed us to be an overcomer. And the Lord spoke something to the seven churches. And every time he ended what he said, he always said, to him that overcomes. And he promised them. So let's begin in Revelation chapter 2. And we'll begin with verse 7. Okay, he's speaking to the church of Ephesus. Now, these were actual churches. So if he's speaking to the churches then, guess what? He's still speaking to the churches today. Amen? And in verse 7 of chapter 2, he said, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." Are you listening? Are you listening to what he's saying to the churches? He's still speaking today. He said, "To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." And then go down to verse 11. He's speaking to the church here of Smyrna. And he says, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death." And then to Pergamos, he wrote, and let's go down to verse 17. "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows, saving he that receives it." And then to Thyatira, he says some things. And then let's go down to verse 26. "And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." How many want power over the nations? Well, in order for you to have power over the nations, you're going to have to overcome some things. Amen? Not, are you overcome or are you overcoming? That's the question that I want you to think about. All right? Then let's go to chapter 3. And let's look at verse 5. He talks to Sardis. And he says, "He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." How many want the Lord to confess your name before the Father and before angels? You want your name to be known in heaven? You got to be an overcomer. Amen? And then in verse 12 of chapter 3, he's talking to Philadelphia. And he said, "Him that overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." All right? And then down to verse 21, the final church. Here, he says, "To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also am overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So what are you hearing tonight? It's good to be an overcomer. It's good to prevail. It's good to get the victory. Amen? What does it mean to overcome? It means to subdue, to conquer, to prevail, or to get the victory. How many know when you win the battle is when you get the victory? Amen? When your enemy raises the white flag and he surrenders, you get the victory. And see, why is it important to get the victory? Because then you get to dictate the terms. Amen? And how many know Jesus already got the victory for us? It's not something that we just have to use what he gave us to keep us in the victory circle, in the victory zone. Amen? And John 16:33. I just want to read some scriptures to you about overcoming, and then we'll talk about this a little bit further. Jesus is talking to his disciples here, and he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me," everybody say, "in me." See, the only way you're going to have the victory in life is if you remain in him. Any departure outside of him will cause you to lose. It's got to be in him. It's got to be in him, through him, with him. He says, "In me, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation." Did Jesus say we're going to have tribulation? I thought that when I get saved, it's going to be a bed of roses. It's going to be smooth sailing. Well, someone told you a lie. Jesus is talking here. He said, "In the world, you're going to have tribulation." Why? You know, Jesus didn't do anything wrong. He lived a perfect life, but yet people wanted to kill him. And if you think your day is bad, you don't have people, coming to kill you. Amen? Well, it all depends on what your job is, I guess. You might have some people wanting to kill you. But he said, "In the world, you will have tribulation, but," I like when Jesus butts in, amen? "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Jesus overcame the world. They couldn't touch him unless he let them. Amen? He walked in perfect victory. He never had a bad hair day. He never had a bad attitude. He never got into criticism or negativity. Jesus had the victory and he walked in victory. He walked with his head up, not his head down. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That means if he can, you can. Because he's with you, in you, right? By the Holy Ghost. All right, let's go to 1 John 4:4. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." Say, "I've got greatness in me." He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You're a thermostat, not a thermometer. What's the difference? A thermometer simply goes up and down according to what the temperature is. But a thermostat sets the temperature. I mean, you can go into a room and into a place and you can set the temperature. You can warm a cold room. You can change the atmosphere. You can bring joy to a state of depression. Oh yeah, there were times when Jesus would go into a place, they'd be wailing a dead person because they just died, and he'd have to put them out because he said, "No, the person's not dead, they're alive." He changed the atmosphere from death to life just because Jesus entered the place. So you've got the greater one. 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. "Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. It's going to take faith to be an overcomer. You're going to have to put your trust and belief in God. You're going to have to rely on Him. And you're going to have to be bold. Faith isn't wishy-washy. I believe God. You better make up your mind. And he who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And I like Psalm 44. Psalm 44, verses 5 through 8. It says, through you shall we push down our enemies. Through your name shall we tread them under who rise up against us. For I will not trust in and lean on my bow, neither shall my sword save me, but you have saved us from our foes and have put them to shame who hate us. In God we have made our boast all the day long, and we will give thanks to your name forever. And then Romans 8:37 says, yet amid all these things we are more than conquerors, and we gain a surpassing victory through Him who loved us. Did you know that you're made more of a conqueror through His love? Because you know what He says about love? He says love never fails. If you maintain a love walk, you're never going to fail. See, now Satan, he'll try to get you out of love. He tries to get you into hate and bitterness. But if you stay in love, love will hold up under anything. There's nothing that can crack love. True love, agape love, the love of God. And besides, he said, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. He puts his love in you. So he spoke some things to these churches, and it was based on our listening to what the Spirit says. Did you know that the Holy Spirit knows how to handle every enemy that you face? He knows a way through every challenge, every temptation. Jesus told his disciples, he said, there's no temptation taken to you that is uncommon to man, but with every temptation comes a way out. There's always a way out of temptation because he wants you to overcome. To him who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. To him who overcomes. You're not going to overcome if you're not listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He's living inside you. You got to pay attention when you have a check in your spirit about something. You got to pay attention if you're getting involved in a relationship, whether it's a business relationship or a friendship, and you got a check in your spirit, you better pay attention to that. The Holy Spirit's trying to get your attention. You know, He's a gentleman. Now, there are some times he may have to shake you. Amen. He'll go to great lengths to get your attention. But it's up to us to listen. Amen. So, to him who overcomes means you're victorious. And there's all kinds of benefits about overcoming. You know, you're going to get some spiritual food. You're going to get to eat of the tree of life. You're going to have eternal life. You're going to have a new name. You're going to have authority. You're going to have robes of righteousness, a memorial pillar. You're going to get to sit on His throne. That's awesome. And you're going to have an eternal inheritance. I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 32. I want to look at some examples in the Bible of people who overcame. Genesis chapter 32. This is the story of Jacob. And we'll go ahead and read, and we'll talk about it a little bit. Genesis chapter 32. And we'll start with verse 1. Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. How many of you recognize angels when you see them? It didn't say that they appeared in white. They were probably just looking like ordinary. Did you know that you can entertain angels unaware? So you better be careful how you treat people. Strangers can come. You know, one time, my economics professor at Lee, he's a Hispanic guy, and he needed money to go to college, and he had to replace the tires on his car. And he lived in a predominantly Hispanic area in Texas, South Texas, actually. And one night after a church, his dad was a pastor, after a church service, this black man came up to him and handed him $400 bills. And he never saw that black man before. He never saw him after. So he said, God sent me a black angel. And he gave him the $400. That's what he needed because his tires were so bad, he had to drive at night so that he wouldn't blow out a tire. And that's what helped him get there. And I'm not even talking about angels, so I better get moving on here. Anyway, Jacob recognized these as God's host. Okay? And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, unto the land of Seir. And he commanded them, saying, thus shall you speak to my lord Esau. Your servant Jacob says this, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now, and I have oxen, asses, flocks, men servants, women servants. I have sent to tell my lord that I might find grace in your sight. Jacob was a little nervous about meeting his brother. Why? He stole his birthright and he stole his blessing. Amen? And Esau was a man of action. He was a hunter. You don't mess with Esau. Esau got so angry, he vowed to kill Jacob. And this was Jacob, but he's about to meet his brother. And verse 6, and the messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to your brother Esau, and also he comes to meet you, and 400 men are with him. I can just hear Jacob's heart sink. You know, this is a situation, this is a challenge that Jacob faced, and what is he going to do to overcome? Amen? You ever been in this challenge before? When you're about to meet that relative that everybody talks about, you know? Oh, they're coming over again. What are we going to do? You're going to overcome is what you're going to do. You're going to overcome the bad attitude. How many know we got to overcome attitudes? Do you realize a bad attitude puts you in line with Satan? Oh, well, I'm just happy. No, you need to get over it quickly. You're an overcomer. Don't let that stuff fester in your heart. You know, if you give the devil an inch, he'll be a ruler. Y'all are sharp tonight. You got that. That's good. So listen, verse 7. Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. You ever been afraid and distressed? And he divided the people that was with him, the flocks and the herds and all that stuff, and said, if Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape. Now look at what Jacob did. He could have dwelt on that fear. He could have said, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? He could have been worrying, you know. I don't know about you, but my grandmother, she could worry. You know, my father was an only child. My grandmother, when I was like 9 or 10, she wouldn't even let me cut the lawn thinking I might get a hernia or something. She was a worrier. Look at what Jacob did. He began to pray. Oh, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, which said to me. He's reminding God what he said to him. How many know that God likes to hear his word spoken by you? See, overcomers speak the word of God. And return to my country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have showed unto your servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I've become two to bands. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him. That wasn't a respect of him. That was a fear, a dread, a terror. Lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And you said, I will surely do you good. You know, it's okay for you to remind God what he said. Amen? If you're going to be an overcomer, you got to remind God what he said. Because God operates by his word. He will never violate his word. And verse 13, he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother. And so he sent out this gift that he was going to give Esau ahead of him. And let's go down to verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. Now, think about this. He's worrying about his brother. He's worrying about what his brother's going to do, and he's alone. He doesn't have anybody around him. Okay? How many know that when you're alone, the devil just likes to magnify fear and intimidation? And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. What if he'd have quit at midnight? What if he'd have quit at 2 o'clock in the morning? What if he'd have quit at 4? He wrestled with them until the break of day. How committed are you to be an overcomer? To face the challenges with faith in the name of the Lord? Verse 25, when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. That is the attitude of an overcomer. One who is going to stick with it until they get an answer. You're going to pray until the answer comes. You say, I'm not letting you go till you bless me. I'm not getting off this until I have a miracle. I am not moving out of faith. I am not leaving. That's the attitude of an overcomer. I'm not letting you go till you bless me. Do you realize that he was wrestling with God? And God left him a reminder in his hip. Because it's never according to your own works. Verse 27, and he said unto him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob. No more are you a supplanter. That was your old nature. That was your old way. Now you're going to be called Israel, which means a prince of God. Jacob hung in there until his nature changed. Until something changed on the inside of him. He wouldn't let go of what he was focused on. To him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. To him who overcomes. You ought to read what the church has faced. In the church of Ephesus, they left their first love. And he said, repent and do the first works. He said, but Israel, for as a prince have you power with God and with man, and has prevailed. Say prevailed. He hung in there until the victory came to him. He wouldn't stop believing. He wouldn't quit confessing. He wouldn't quit getting with God. He wouldn't stop being determined. He wouldn't quit persevering. I don't care if it takes me all night. I'm going to get my blessing. And he got it. Amen. He got it, didn't he? And then down to verse 30, it says, and Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Boy, that puts it in perspective, doesn't it? Jacob realized that he was wrestling with God. And guess what? We know the story, don't we? Because he prevailed with God, when he went out to meet his brother, they forgave one another. They got their relationship right. Because number one, he prayed before he ever met him. He stopped the fear through prayer. And he was serious about his prayer. Amen? You got a challenge in your life? Get serious with God. Get serious with your confession. You're an overcomer. That means you got to overcome. Something in your way, you can't get around to the left, you can't get around to the right, you got to overcome. David said, and I don't know if it was David, but one of the Psalms, he said, I can run through a troop and I can leap over a wall. Jacob was alone. He couldn't get encouragement from his family, from his servants. He was alone. Amen? This is where the rubber meets the road. You have got to make up your own mind to be an overcomer, whether or not anybody's with you or not. Whether your husband's not with you, whether your wife's not with you, it doesn't matter. You make up your mind that you're going to be an overcomer, that you're going to hang in there. You're not going to quit. You're not going to give up. Go with me to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Let's begin with verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and said to all, and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land where you sent us. And surely, everybody say surely, it flows with milk and honey. In other words, what God told them was true. And this is the fruit of it. And they told him and said, we came unto the land, or nevertheless, you got to be careful when you start saying nevertheless. Nevertheless. The people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and are very great. And moreover, we saw the Anak there. Those are the giants. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains of the Canaanites, dwell in the mountains and the Canaanites by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Now I want you to notice what Caleb did. Caleb was an overcomer. Caleb wouldn't talk defeat. Caleb refused to be the victim. Notice what he did. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people. Basically, he said, hold your peace, shut your mouth. Quit saying that. That took courage. You got a multitude saying one thing, and you step in and say, hold your, you know, be quiet. I'm saying it nicely, but I don't think he said it too nice. He stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it. We are well able to what? To overcome. I don't know what other translations say. This is King James. We are well able to overcome. Say, we are well able to overcome. Do you think your bills are bigger than your provider? The bills, they get piled up, and you're like, oh, what am I going to do? Oh, oh, oh. Pray. First of all, just don't say anything. Amen? Sometimes you got to have the Spirit of God say, be quiet. Don't say that. Caleb stilled the people. He said, we are well able to overcome. Yeah, but I'm looking at the bill and I'm looking at my wallet. Quit looking at that. Look at God. You are an overcomer. We are well able to overcome. I like that. It is up to you. possess what God said. You got to go after it. You got to take it as yours. You got to take the victory. They had to walk around Jericho. David had to face Goliath. Daniel had to not compromise and pray, even though he knew there was a law against it. You're an overcomer. You got to have this mindset about you. One who gains the victory, one who prevails, one who conquers. You're more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. We are conquerors. Don't let the devil push you over. He's the one that's been defeated. You're the one that's been victorious. Act like you have the victory. Talk like you have the victory. Walk like you have the victory. Put your shoulders back. Say, you know, whatever you got to do to get yourself into it. You know, make some sounds or something. God will fight for you. Go with me to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. Look at verse 33. Numbers 21:33. And they turned and went up by the way of Bashan, and Og, the king of Bashan, went out against them, he and all his people, to the battle at Edrei. And the Lord said unto Moses, fear him not. Say, I don't fear. Say, I don't have a spirit of fear. Fear can be all around you. That doesn't mean you have to participate with it. Just because there's an atmosphere of fear doesn't mean you have to let fear paralyze you or stop you from acting or speaking or doing what you need to do. There can be fear all around, but you can act in spite of that. Amen? I like what the Lord says. Fear him not. For I have delivered him into your hand. He's listening to what God is saying. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And all his people and his land. And you shall do to him as you did unto Sihon, king of the Amorites, which dwelt at Heshbon. Now this is verse 35. I like this. So they smote him and his sons and all his people until there was none left him alive, and they possessed his land. I like that. He had a word from God saying, fear not, I've delivered him. And so Moses went with that. He says, okay, that's good for me. Let's go. They faced who they had to face. They killed him, and they took their land. Now, that enemy did not say, here's my land. Go ahead and take it. No, the enemy came out against him. But thank God that he heard a word from God. Fear him not. I've delivered him into your hand. He's going to fall just like the other guy. That gave Moses faith. Moses' faith was built up, and he encouraged the people, and the people went out. And guess what? They overcame. They conquered. They prevailed. What's your greatest challenge in your life? What's your biggest mountain? Didn't you know that you're a mountain mover? How are you going to move a mountain? With the word of God. Speak unto the mountain. You say, mountain? You look at it. You look at it. I'm looking at you, mountain. Mountain, you have got to go. I cast you into the sea. I do not doubt, but I believe that whatsoever I say, I shall have. And your words will cause that mountain to become a molehill. Man, your words are like dynamite to obstacles. To mountains. Did you know that God made you an earth mover? He made you one of those big tractors. You got to fire up. you know, and he puts that blade down and he moves forward and he pushes that dirt out of the way. You do it because you're an overcomer. You're more than a conqueror because he loves you. And to get the good rewards, you got to be an overcomer. We're here. We have the power of God on our side. If God be for you, who can be against you? Anyone? Who can be against you if God is for you? No one. Go with me to Joshua chapter 17. Joshua chapter 17. I like this one too. Let's begin with verse 14. And the children of Joseph spoke unto Joshua, saying, Why have you given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people? For as much as the Lord has blessed me hitherto. And Joshua answered them, If you be a great people, then get thee up to the wood country, and cut down for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for you. I like that. Hey, how come we only have so little? Well, if you're such a great person of faith, why don't you go up there and cut you down, so clear out the way? Sometimes you got to clear the way, amen? Verse 16, And the children of Joseph said, The hill is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both they who are of Beth Shehan and her towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. And Joshua spoke unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, You are a great people and have great power. You shall not have one lot only. I like Joshua. He just encourages them. You're a great people. Amen? When you come in for counseling, I might just tell you, Hey, you're great. You got the greater one inside you. Go get him, tiger. Maybe you have to eat some Frosted Flakes with Tony the Tiger. Maybe you got a Tony the Tiger hidden on the inside of you or something. I might just encourage you, but it's up to you. No, Pastor, I want you to do it for me. I'm not going to do it for you. Joshua didn't do it for them. Why? Because they had the power. Say, I've got the power. I might just give you a word of encouragement and say, go get your giant. Go get him. Come on, you can do it. I'll be your cheerleader. Give me some pom-poms. I'll say, go, 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 you can do it. You're a great people and have great power. You shall not have one. Now look at verse 18. But the mountain shall be yours, for it is a wood, and you shall cut it down, and the outgoings of it shall be yours. For you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. The Amplified basically says, you will clear the way, and the farthest limits will be yours. In other words, you can have as much as you take. Well, I only want a couple little promises. As long as I'm saved, that's all I need. You know, there's more to it than just salvation. There's healing. There's also prosperity. Do you realize that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were all rich? Rich! Filthy rich! No, they weren't filthy. They were clean rich. Do you realize that that's the heritage that we have? Say, I'm rich. Let's just say that again. Say, I'm rich. Now, some of you are thinking, well, because of my circumstance, how can I be that? That's the problem. You got to change the way you think first. You're not thinking like a victory. You're thinking like a victim. You're thinking that whatever income you have is your source, and it's not. God's your source. Say, God's my source. He really is. They said, we need more land. Joshua said, okay, go get it. You know what Caleb told Joshua? He said, you see that mountain? This is when Caleb had been there for 40 years. He was now 85 years old. And he came to Joshua, and he said, you see that mountain over there? Joshua told me I could have that mountain, or Moses told me I could have that mountain. And he said, I'm as strong now as I was when I was 40. How could he say that? Because he was a conqueror. He was not limited to his physical size, to his stature, to his own might. He didn't put his trust in himself. He put his trust in God. And you know what? You know who lived on that mountain? Giants. You know what happened when Caleb got to that mountain? He threw those giants out of there. He said, this is my mountain. You get out of here. He booted the giants out when he was 85. Come on. How did he do that? Because Caleb kept his confession the same throughout those 40 years. He never left what he originally said. He never left the fact that he said, we are well able to overcome. He never left that. And now you're talking spending 40 years with a bunch of whiny babies in the wilderness. Oh, God, we need water. Okay, bam, strike the rock, water comes out. Oh, praise God. Next day, God, I want some quail. I'm tired of this light bread. Okay, God gets ticked off. He sends some quail for a month. Okay? They lived according to miracles, not by faith. And the only way that they would feel good is if they had a miracle. But Joshua and Caleb lived by faith. They lived good irregardless of what their circumstances said. Now, Joshua and Caleb were of faith, but they had to wait till a generation died before they could go in. Think about that for a minute. How'd you like to be three out of a couple million people who believe God? You're talking 2 to 3 million Hebrews when they left Egypt. And most of them didn't believe. They had to, a whole generation had to die for 40 years. Imagine how many funerals they went to. Imagine what the attitude in the camp was like. But yet Joshua and Caleb managed to have a conquering attitude about everything that they did. To him who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says. To him who overcomes, say, I'm an overcomer. Say, Jesus is talking about me. Every time you hear the Bible talk about overcoming, you say, well, I better listen. He's talking about me. You got to change how you think about yourself. And you got to face your problems in life with your words. Actually, with God's words. Did you realize that God's word is like the stone that David put in his slingshot? The stone represents our words. And you can hit the giant right between the eyes and knock him flat out of the way. You know how David... I'm just going to take a couple more minutes here. Is that all right? Who'll give me a couple more minutes? Okay, that's 2, 4, 6, 8. No, just kidding. When David put those stones in his bag and he pulled one out, he ran to the giant. He chucked that stone at him. And I believe that angel, because David spoke conquering words. And the angels listen to the word of God. Did you know if you want to activate your angels, you got to speak the word? And so David reached in, took that stone, whipped that stone around, and he let that thing fly. And there we go. You could probably hear the thud of that stone hit Goliath's forehead. One little pebble knocked the 9-foot giant down, and David stood on his body. He took his sword, pulled it out of his sheath, raised it up, and chopped off his head, just like he said he was going to do. What's your giant in your life? What challenge are you facing? Find what God's word says. Get on God's side and start, and don't move from that position. You know, in football, we had to get into a three-point stance because I was a center and I was also a tackle. And I had to get in this stance, you know. And you kind of had to balance yourself because you had to balance yourself, but you had to be ready to lunge. And I still have a whole lot to say about the conquering church. We haven't even gotten into what they said about the churches yet. But I wanted to give you some examples. Because if they did it, guess what? You and I can do it too. Say, I'm a conqueror. Say, I am victorious. Say, I prevail over every enemy and over every challenge. God is on my side. I have the greater one in me. I overcome this world system with my faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I just want to make